evening and welcome to a special meeting of the Arroyo Grande City Council. It's Monday, June 13th, 2016. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Yep.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon?
Here.
And Mayor Hill?
Here. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. I'd like to ask for a moment of silence in memory of the Orlando shooting victims. Thank you. Item 4 on our agenda is City Council goal setting. This is the first of two meetings which will comprise the council goal setting process. Tonight, the council will receive a presentation on our fiscal year 2015-16 efforts and current priorities and projects in process, upcoming projects, and projects planned for fiscal year 2016-17. The second meeting for the goal-setting process will be at another special meeting on June 27th, so I would also like to invite everyone to that second part meeting on June 27th. No formal action will be taken tonight. The council will basically receive presentations. And we will have public input during the process. Again, this is a special meeting, so the council is only allowed to take comments related to the items that are on the agenda this evening. So with that, the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor Hill. Good evening, City Council. Tonight we have the beginning of our council goal setting process. Next slide. This is an overview of the agenda for this evening. First, I'm going to talk a little bit about the process in general, and then we're going to talk about taking stock of where we are as an organization. Then we'll move into department presentations, which will describe accomplishments to date this fiscal year, projects in process, and anticipated projects for the coming year, as well as trends and unmet needs. And then we will ask the council to provide feedback, and we'll have an opportunity for community input, additional comments, and next steps. And that'll conclude this evening's meeting. So in terms of the council goal-setting process, tonight begins that process, and the purpose of tonight's meeting is not for the council to make any decisions at this time, but we're providing information to the council, which is really all about taking stock of where we are today as an organization, and we are laying the groundwork for the council's goal-setting, which will take place on June 27th, 2 weeks from today. There will be opportunities for public input to the council as you develop your goals, and public input can be sent to the council by email to agcity@arroyogrande.org or by attending the meeting on the 27th. Each of the council members will be asked to submit 7 goals that are your top goals for the coming year, and those will be compiled into a list which will not identify which council member provided those goals, so sort of an anonymous list of goals, and that will be reviewed by the council on the 27th for a selection of 7 of those goals as your top goals for the coming year. In terms of the public input, if the public would like to send an email to agcity@arroyogrande.org, ideally that input would be sent by noon on the June 20th so that we could then provide a copy of all of the public input at that time to the council as you develop your top 7 goals. So that would be the best scenario if the public can send their emails to us by that time. If not, we will still provide all of the input that we receive from the public to the council on the day of the meeting. So moving on to taking stock of where we are. We are midway through a two-year budget. As discussed in the budget message of the 2015-2017 biennial budget, that budget represents a mixture of increased financial stability as well as continued constraints and challenges. Our general fund budget, as you may recall, relies on the use of $250,000 of unspent appropriations from prior years as a short-term measure to balance our general fund while economic development activities are implemented. And I refer to that $250,000 as reserves, but it's important to keep in mind that we are currently holding about 35% of our general fund in reserve, which exceeds the council's 20% goal of reserves. So at this point in time, we have a very healthy financial outlook, but as we look toward the future, our outlook is somewhat challenged, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. So in addition, for this budget, priority has been placed on assessing critical infrastructure and equipment and developing a long-range financial plan. In order to develop the plan, the focus of the two-year time period has been on obtaining, analyzing, and presenting information to the council so that thoughtful and data-driven decisions can be made in 2017 as we develop the next biennial budget. Toward that end, the staff have completed and will continue to work on analysis of where we currently stand in regards to our infrastructure and our operations. First, we need to know where we are in order to determine where we want to go, and the council goal setting will help us define that, and then we can determine the best way to achieve those goals. So looking at this in terms of a timeline, last June the council adopted the current biennial budget, and then in September of last year we increased our economic development activity. And then in October and January, the council received the first of the infrastructure reports developed by our public works staff. And then in April, the council reviewed a revenue plan that was developed by staff. And now we are conducting our council goal setting process tonight and on the 27th. So that's kind of where we are so far. We have more work to do. So in terms of more research that we need to do and more sort of milestones that need to pass to let us gather more information, the first will be in July when we get the governor's budget for the coming year, and we'll find out if there will be supplemental gas tax revenues for cities due to the reduction in gas tax. And then this summer we'll also receive infrastructure reports on drainage, sidewalks, information technology, equipment, and vehicles, and that will be this summer and fall. And also this summer the council will review a detailed economic development plan. And in August, the user fee study that has been in process will be presented to the council. And in November, we will find out as a result of the election if the proposed half-cent sales tax measure by SLOCOG is successful or not. And if it is successful, that will significantly impact the city's ability to deliver transportation projects. Then in January, or by January, we will have a full compensation and classification study of all city positions completed, assuming that meets with council's approval for funding, as we will present it tomorrow night under the budget item. And all of this information will be gathered together for the council so that in January and February of next year, as we begin to prepare the 2017-2019 biennial budget, you will have full information, the best information that we can provide as we prepare a plan for going forward. Just as a sort of reminder of what your goals were or have been for this past year, this is the Critical Needs Action Plan and citywide goals that are included in the current budget. And you can see a refocused economic development plan was included, and that, as you know, is in process. Also completing design and pursuing approval of state and federal funding for the Briscoe Road project. And we have managed to hold on to our funding for Briscoe just barely, although it's been delayed a few years. But that project is also working its way through the approval process with Caltrans. And also fully funding and constructing the pavement management program. You'll hear more about that from Public Works Director Jeff English. And also an escalated sidewalk repair program. And then just continuing on the Critical Needs Action Plan, addressing the Recreation Department's facility needs, recommendations to address our water needs, and recently the Council's heard quite a bit about our conservation efforts and our plans to address our water issues going forward. And then also developing a long-range financial plan with a focus on operational effectiveness and revenue generation. So that's what is in the current budget and what Council had discussed last year as in terms of their goals. So just a little bit of background before we move into the department presentations. And you've seen these slides before. And this is just an overview of kind of where our revenues come from. And this indicates that more than half of our revenues come from taxes and assessments. And then that's 55%, and then 37% charges for services. And our expenditures, 42% goes to salaries and benefits, and 44% to current expenses, supplies, contracts, etc. And this is also a slide you've seen before, and this just indicates where our tax revenues are headed. Our property tax and our sales tax, as you can see, are increasing pretty well. Our TOT is increasing, but not in a big way, and we hope that that increases more dramatically in the next couple of years as we have at least one and perhaps two hotels come online. So this just kind of gives an overview of where our taxes are headed. And then this is also a slide that you've seen before, and this is our revenue and expenditure gap, which is our 10-year outlook. And as I said, we're in pretty good financial shape now, but looking toward the future, our revenues will not be keeping up with our expenditures, and so obviously we need to continue to address that issue. So with that, we'll move on to department presentations. And because I have the microphone, I guess I get to go first. City Manager's Office. So during the past fiscal year, we have initiated a financial sustainability plan consisting of three parts: a revenue plan, which has been completed and is being implemented, an economic development plan, which is in process and underway, and an expenditure analysis or control plan, which is also in process. And then in terms of economic development, I reported on that at the last council meeting, and so I won't go into much detail, but we've really started our initial research and planning, and we have multiple weekly meetings with developers, property owners, business owners, and we have a draft plan in place, and we've been working on resources for our small businesses and also working to streamline the entitlements process. And then lastly, community outreach, presentations to various groups, as well as the Coffee with the City Manager program. And then just a few more items: oversight for water-related projects. We've initiated some interdepartmental committees and activities regarding safety in the workplace, special events, and economic development. And then we've dealt with a number of developing or emerging issues as directed by Council. In terms of current projects, and you'll see that the current and anticipated project list is very similar because we have a number of ongoing important priorities, the first one being financial sustainability, which includes the economic development component and expenditure analysis and control, enhancing our public outreach and transparency, long-range planning for water needs, as well as a few other items that are listed there. And then anticipated projects, the list is really pretty much the same because these are ongoing projects, with an additional project of reformatting our budget for additional clarity and to facilitate easier decision making for the council. In terms of trends, I'm listing trends not just in the city manager's office, which is rather small, but really citywide trends, things that cut across all departments. We have a challenge in meeting the service levels of our community expects, continuing to provide those service levels with our current staffing levels. We have a highly engaged citizenry, which is a good thing, and helps us with the third item, which is increased dependency on community groups and volunteers. We also see an increased demand to use technology to provide services, and also a demand to keep up with technology. We see an ongoing trend of difficulty with recruitment and retention of employees, as many of our employees retire, and there are fewer applicants for some of our positions. We also have ongoing unfunded state and federal mandates, which is difficult for the city to address, as well as a continued reduction in state funding, particularly transportation dollars. And lastly, we see a positive business environment here in Arroyo Grande with an increase in development activity. And in terms of unmet needs, again, these are really citywide needs. And I want to emphasize that the unmet needs that we will discuss by department this evening are not a request for funding at this time. It's really just information to give the council more of a complete picture of the city's needs. So, of course, long-term financial sustainability and a plan for achieving that is something that we must address or continue to address. Recruitment and retention challenges. Our staffing, in terms of the structure of the organization and the number of employees that we have, we need to assure that it meets the expectations of our community, as well as dealing with increased regulatory requirements. We need to increase our use of and keep up with technology, and we also need to look at our infrastructure and equipment maintenance and replacement. And with that, I will turn it over to Admin Services Director Debbie Malicote to tell us about her department.
Thank you. Good evening. Administrative Services has been very busy this past year. One of the biggest programs that we've been working on are the water conservation implementation of that program, baseline adjustments. We talked at length about that a few meetings ago, and the process that we go through to adjust the baselines for customers, the penalties and warning letters, the expanded duties of the adjustment board. Those have all taken a lot of our staff time and have been a big focus of our efforts. GASB 68 and 71 implementation may not sound sexy and exciting to anyone other than an accountant. Let me assure you, it was a big deal, and we did implement that, but it did take a lot of our time and effort to do that. We had more than 25 new employees that we've processed. We implemented the Affordable Care Act with all of our employees, our part-time employees included. We prepared the mid-year budget. We've done several reports that we do on an annual basis. Development impact fee study and a user fee study are underway. We recently completed a transition in banking services. So you may recall that one of the first things that I did when I got here was look at banking services, and it takes a long time to transition an organization of this size from a former bank and get everything moved over to the new bank, but we have completed that. We also completed the water and sewer rate study update, which you looked at on May 10th. As Diane mentioned, we've prepared the revenue plan, presented that, and we've dealt with some reopeners on contracts with the SEIU group, and had a new state law that affected sick leave for our part-time employees, so we've implemented that as well. As I mentioned, the user fee study and the development impact fee study are both efforts that are underway. The user fee study is scheduled to come before you in August for implementation. The budget update you will look at tomorrow night. We have a number of changes to the water conservation program based on the feedback that we heard on May 10th. We're working on some recommendations for how we could streamline that program and what we might be able to do there to be effective for the community and more efficient with our staff time. And then we also discussed on May 10th the water and sewer rate increase. We are going through the Prop 218 process. The public hearing for that is now scheduled for August 9th, so that will be coming before you as well. You may have heard, and it's true, our accounting manager is moving on to bigger and better things. We wish him well, but it means we'll have a recruitment that we will need to fill, and there will be some training involved with that. We are currently working with negotiations on both our Police Officers Association as well as providing support to the Five Cities Fire Authority in their negotiations with the Firefighters Union. We have some properties that we're going to be purchasing and some others that we're going to be disposing of. We have a bunch of policies that we need to update. Credit card policy is one of them. Purchasing policy is another. We have recently launched OpenGov internally. That brought up a few little minor bugs that we're working out, but we're just about ready to launch that to the public, so that's exciting, and I'll be coming before you soon with that launch. The CJPIA loss cap, that's a program that identifies areas where we have vulnerabilities in both workers' comp or liability programs, and provides us with suggestions on what we could do to decrease our potential losses or our exposure to losses. And so there's some suggestions that they've provided that we're working on updating those issues. A couple of other things we anticipate coming along. As we mentioned, the financial sustainability plan, the reformatting of our new document, our budget document, I hope to make a little more user-friendly, a little better communication tool for the community to understand what we're doing and how we're doing. As I mentioned, we have several policies that we need to update. We're looking at a potential early defeasance of the fire bond, the bonds that paid for the expansion of the fire station. Looks like we'll be able to pay those off a little bit early, so that's a good news item. And that'll more will come on that. And then, of course, we know that we have to find a way to finance the rest of the Briscoe project, and so there'll be some kind of financing that we'll need to do for that project. Citizen Serve is the program that we use to process business licenses, building permits, planning applications, lots of processes that occur over at City Hall. We're looking at expanding that access portal, in particular for renewing business licenses or applying for business licenses online. We still use a paper process. This is 2016. Maybe we could come up to date a little bit there, so we're working on that. We do outsource the printing and mailing of our utility billing. We have not done an RFP for that service for about 5 years, so it's timely to do that and improve the online payment portal of that service as well. And again, we have several policies, safety policies, administrative policies, human resources policies that need updating that we'll be working on, and a revamp to the safety committee. That's a group of employees from lots of different departments that meet to discuss safety issues, to do safety inspections of city facilities, to promote a safe work environment throughout the city. We're going to be revamping that committee. So a couple of trends that we see out there. The aging workforce will require us to spend a lot more time probably than we're currently spending on recruitment and replacing the retirements as our workforce moves on into retirement. You'll probably hear from other departments about the challenges that they're having with recruitment and retention. It's a little different for my department. The challenge, not only that we may have people that, you know, leave and we need to replace them, but also that we have the recruitment in our shop that will help citywide with all of those replacements. As I mentioned, we'll have some new supervisors in our city. We have a couple of people who have been promoted into new supervisory positions. We're going to be providing some training on HR issues, things that new supervisors or even some seasoned supervisors need to remember and know about related to HR issues. We see that that's becoming more and more complex, and a greater chance of vulnerability if supervisors aren't properly trained on HR issues. So we want to make sure that that gets addressed. We also have increased regulatory and reporting requirements. I mentioned the GASB 68 and 71. I think there are now up to 77 or 78. There's a lot more coming down the pipeline when it comes to some of the reporting requirements that we're going to have to meet in order just to issue our financial statements, for example. There's also the Affordable Care Act compliance that continues to change and challenge us and update on that. There will undoubtedly be other things that change in the regulatory or reporting world that will continue to challenge us. Transparency and government financial information, you've heard about that a lot, I'm sure. It's certainly been a buzzword for the last several years. Transparency in government, OpenGov is part of what's going to help us get to more transparency than we currently have. But it's definitely, you know, a trend that we're seeing, not just in the financial world, although that has certainly been a focus for a lot of people, but doing the public's business in public and being open about what we're doing is a trend that we foresee will continue. And then technology will continue to advance. We know that we currently have an obsolete financial management system. We know that we have needs out there related to technology. We continue to see that those technology will continue to advance. Some of the unmet needs that we've identified in our department, we certainly know we have unfunded liabilities. Some of them we have been able to define a little better than others. Some of them we're still continuing to work on defining what those might look like for you, so you can get a bit of a handle on what those may be and what kind of order of magnitude financially we're talking about. You know, what's the impact of the deferred replacements of technology, vehicles, equipment, infrastructure, some of those things that'll be identified and coming to you. We also need to look at our organizational structure. Do we have the right number of people in the right place? Do we have a structure that makes sense? Do we have the right departments reporting to the correct department director? You know, some of those things are some decisions we may have made in some of our restructuring may have been things that we did in different economic times that were good for the short term, but perhaps in the long term we want to take a look at that. That'll be part of that comp and class study that we'll take a look at. Take a look at some of those aspects, and then also do we have the appropriate classifications and compensation of employees? Do we compensate our positions adequately and appropriately for the job duties that they are assigned? So we may find that we have some changes that need to be made there as well. That compensation and classification study will help us identify that information. And then we know that there are some things that we could be doing proactively in the risk management world that will, again, assist us with reducing our exposure. We will never fully eliminate our exposure to risk, but there's some things that we can do proactively to help us manage that risk a little bit better. That's it for admin services.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Continuing on with community development, we've had lots of activities past year, as you well know. So we've added a substantial square footage with our commercial and hotel space in the city and the listed projects there that are coming online, as well as some remodels. And we are an infill city, so remodels and infill projects will be increasingly important for us. And of course, the Rio Grande Shopping Center added new commercial square footage and revamped some as well, and that's turning out to be a very significant project. One of the things there is building planning and engineering staff all working together to make sure that the project could be phased and rephased in order for the center to continue to remain open for business during the construction phase of the projects. We've had some business expansions, primarily in the village area. We've had some very good, significant housing projects coming online with the rental units at Pike and Elm, the single-family housing at Heights at Vista Del Mar, as well as a track off of Wasna. And projects in process, of course, is the East Cherry Avenue specific plan, the most substantial project in quite a while here for the city, inclusive of a hotel component, single-family homes, and a cultural component. That EIR draft is complete and being finalized, and that will be coming through the public hearing process in the coming months. And we have completed an in-house analysis for target opportunity sites, and that's for both commercial mixed-use development as well as hotel sites. We've been starting to use that as we speak to potential developers, and that will be a component with the forthcoming economic efforts. We've been issuing permits pretty much as we targeted. They're starting to level off in number now. That's primarily due to things like the solar permits are leveling out or actually declining, but some of the work activities remained high just by virtue of the type of projects coming in. We have been working on refining plan checks for some more simple projects and making sure they can be done on digitally one-day plan checks, for example, our solar installations. And we've been working with stakeholder groups for a number of our significant projects. That's the Bridge Street Bridge now for a couple years. It's continuing. East Branch Streetscape now, which will be coming to public hearing soon for alternative selection. And newly kicked off our Halcyon Road Complete Streets projects. And these are stakeholders we gather from our committee and commissions and neighborhood groups. We are continuing to try to expand training opportunities for our committees and commissions, and we have restructured our department and the planning division by the recruitment of the planning manager and part-time planning permit technicians with the departure of an associate planner. And we've had completion of a very significant project in engineering, and that is the update of the city engineering standards. Some of the critical projects, you saw it on the critical needs action plan, this Briscoe Road continues to engage engineering staff, and at this stage, the project is all in Caltrans. We are just receiving final review comments on that project approval and environmental determination phase. We have submitted all analysis and study requested by Caltrans for the temporary closure extension. And as regards recycled water, we're continuing to work with our neighbors on two projects, hoping they'll coalesce into one. It looks like we're still heading that way. And so we're pretty happy with that project with the Sanitation District report coming in July and August. And the Bridge Street Bridge draft environmental documents being completed with two viable design alternatives progressing. Some other recent accomplishments include that adoption of that housing element. We've completed the draft circulation element. That's been kind of awaiting some additional information that we've recently garnered, and we've completed that. We have to do the environmental analysis for that before we bring it forward. We've adopted a statewide model water-efficient landscaping ordinance. The administration of the Cash for Grass program has taken considerable time. And as you know, we've recently adopted regulations on medical marijuana to maintain that local control, and you'll be hearing more about that tomorrow for some proposed modifications. Polystyrene ordinance and updated traffic calming guidelines. So current projects will be continuing on those significant street infrastructure projects. These are grant-funded efforts, but they will entail completion of design plans that can morph into construction projects, not unlike the East Branch streetscape plan or construction that we completed in 2009. And this is for two very significant corridors in the city. We are continuing to process that East Cherry Avenue specific plan. And the construction projects that are ensuing, including the medical office building on Fair Oaks, the hotel project is in and being plan checked, and the Cortland and Grand project as well, construction documents are in. Debbie mentioned the citizen access porthole. We are looking at that as well to be able to process planning permits online and for folks to be able to check the status of their projects. For those significant projects, we continue work bringing forward alternative selection for Briscoe Road and recycled water. Circulation update, again, once we get that draft environmental document complete, we'll be coming forward. And these are very important sections of our general plan that we will set that policy level analysis once it's approved. And our parking study. So we've developed the surveys, and we targeted areas to be surveyed, and we're about ready to roll that out. We will be continuing with conservation and drought work in collaboration with Administrative Services Department and Public Works. We're also working on several things that you'll hear from those departments on those impact fee studies, user fee studies, a significant work product. Stormwater program continues to be very time intensive. And the special event ordinance with the police department. And in anticipation of rolling out the request for proposals, again, for East Grand Avenue Master Plan, we did roll this out last year, not many bites. We're revamping that and rolling that out in conjunction with a parallel economic development effort. And that will allow us to update marketing and market analysis, retail retention issues, and if we can roll those both out in anticipation this following year, they'll work in parallel very well. Another project that has to do a lot with economic development is updating our sign ordinance to simplify it and be consistent with state law. And our land use element, we'll keep chopping away once our circulation element is done. That's our next big one to work on. And we'll also go ahead and start work on the recreation element as time allows, given recreation facility needs that are materializing. We want to be able to look at policy level goals on that. We have other needs and work projects in process now. We'll anticipate needing to work on electronic file storage needs, continue with our GIS information. That's going very well. Reducing our plan check times. Now we have increased development. We've been doing pretty well on our plan check times, but we'll need to make some modifications in that in each of the divisions to make sure we can keep those plan check times down, given increased business. Business license application process streamlining with admin services and, again, the sign application process. Trends, you'll hear drought, you've heard drought, you'll continue to hear drought until we get some rain, and it has very significant ramifications for community development. We are also eyeballing that sales tax measure for through slow cog as we've encountered significant reductions in transportation funding. All while development activity is increasing or trying to increase, so both of those items will have obviously direct ramifications with development to review and economic development. And again, those state mandates continuing for stormwater, water conservation, as well as some other items, including the greenhouse gas inventories and so forth. Unmet needs that we're going to continue to deal with, congestion issues, namely at East Branch and West Branch near the Grand Avenue interchange. We're looking at those recycled water projects and what those costs might be. A significant unfunded replacement project is the Trafficway Bridge. We're stretched in terms of staff support at our front counter. This may be related to the water conservation programs. We have cross-trained staff up there and increased development activity. We'll have to see how that goes. And again, the general plan update, in the perfect world, we'd be able to do a gargantuan comprehensive update and get it all done in a year or so, but we are instead working on those elements one at a time. And we are looking at some needs in the department with vehicles, inspectors, and we'll continue on without those for now, but be aware we have aging vehicles. We're hoping that 5-year battery in our building department vehicle just lasts a while longer. And with that, we'll move on to fire.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I realize you're getting a lot of information this evening, and as I'll be here tomorrow to talk about the 12-month work plan budget tomorrow evening, I'm just going to hit on some highlights for you. With regards to the Five Cities Fire Authority, I think on this page the number one bullet is something that you're all aware of. We were successful in negotiating and renegotiating and revising the automatic aid agreement with Cal Fire. Went into effect in the March-April timeframe, and I can tell you that early analysis is showing that we're seeing a 40% reduction in leaving the service area into the unincorporated areas of the county. So a very successful negotiation. We've initiated the strategic planning process. We spent 2 days in April laying out and identifying the framework. And as soon as we get through budget, so late June, we will reconvene the work groups and start the actual, what I call the heavy lifting, to put the plan components in effect and get that document published. We've ordered the fire engine. I'll talk to you about that a little bit more. That should be here in February. We've done some audits to make sure that we're recovering our strike team costs and with reimbursements when we go elsewhere in the state. And we're hoping to hear any time whether we were granted the assistance for firefighter funding for the SCBA self-contained breathing apparatus replacement. So increased collaborative emergency planning, that was really developing great relationships with Chief Annibale, Chief Peters in Grover Beach, our public works departments, and while the end result wasn't as successful in terms of El Nino, we were definitely better prepared as a community because of the El Nino effect. We did do a soft release of this smartphone application called FIV Dispatch. Media release will be coming shortly. We've revised the website as well. Friends of the Five Cities Fire Authority received its letters of incorporation. That's a nonprofit organization now waiting for the IRS designation. And just to be cost conscious, we looked at our fleet of vehicles and we downsized surplus, and actually an auctioneer picked them up last week. Anticipated projects, again, that strategic plan, get that thing done. Maintain adequate staffing levels. I'll chat about that briefly. Support our board in potential JPA revisions. Master fee schedule. This is an ongoing work plan to bring consistency in the fees that we collect from our member communities. And again, keep an eye out for grant opportunities. So a few trends. I showed you this chart last year along with telling you about the silver tsunami. I just wanted to show you that the trend continues on a consistent basis, that each year our call volume is increasing, and as it increases the capacity and the occurrence of simultaneous calls where we have multiple 911 calls occurring at the same time, tying up resources, definitely is coming into play. The fleet, I've talked to you about the age of our fleet, and grateful that we're going to be receiving the first replacement engine, but with that comes reliability issues, some looming significant investment needs that I'm trying to defer We're actually at about 115% of our full-year budget currently on vehicle maintenance. So trends, if you look at the intersection between the red line, which is maintenance expense, and the black line, which is years of service of a capital asset, you can see that intersection is also known in economics as the point of diminishing return, meaning that continued investment in a fully depreciated asset is actually an inefficient investment. At some point during the strategic planning process, I hope to show you that we could probably reduce maintenance costs by ordering that second piece of equipment with lower maintenance needs. Staffing, and I'm sure you'll hear more about that. I know it's already been touched on this evening. This is just a quick analysis of our reserve firefighter program, showing 2011, a little bit of gap there, and then through 2016. You can see where we were really successful in recruiting from the Allen Hancock Fire Academy and bringing people on board with the boomer retirements. The large fire departments throughout the state are hiring folks either straight out of the fire academy or in some cases straight out of high school with no fire experience. They need folks that badly. In 2016, you can see we actually had a roster. The reddish color there is qualified applicants, and we ended up hiring no one, none of the candidates. So this is something that us and other neighboring jurisdictions are dealing with when it comes to the reserve firefighter programs. Unmet needs. I know I've been consistent in this messaging. Obviously, capital equipment that will be addressed and identified in the strategic plan, technology and communications, and obviously we need to maintain the appropriate staffing levels to provide the level of service that's desired by our communities. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Ledge Services. Would you like me to hit page down for you?
No, I have this.
Okay.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Hill and members of the City Council. The City Clerk's, I'm going to cover both the City Clerk's Division and the Information Technology Division. We're going to start off with the City Clerk's Division, which is dedicated to serving the City Council, staff, and the public in the areas of elections, records management, and all legislative actions while ensuring public transparency. In addition to our recurring responsibilities, some of which are highlighted on the forthcoming slides, the department's accomplishments to date include coordination of biennial ethics training for elected and appointed officials, developing and distributing a request for proposals for design of the audio, visual, and cable casting upgrades in the council chambers. We've responded to 112 public records requests within the legally required timelines, coordinated annual records management activities, and provided website training for designated employees. Current projects, other accomplishments, we've coordinated and distributed one municipal code supplement to incorporate 8 ordinances adopted by the council over the past year. We've processed annual statement of economic interest forms for over 70 filers, as well as met all legal deadlines and processing documents approved by the council and oversight board, processed liability claims in a timely manner, and presided over a number of bid openings. Currently underway include an upgrade of the cable casting and audiovisual equipment here in the council chambers in conjunction with the ADA restroom project, preparing for the 2016 municipal election and the upcoming nomination period, which begins July 18th, drafting election documents for potential ballot measure, which the council will be considering later this month, coordinating candidate orientation for city council and mayoral candidates. That will happen following the close of the nomination period. And beginning a revision and update of the citywide retention schedule and updating the city's conflict of interest code. Anticipated projects, following the November election, there'll be a number of terms expiring on the city's commissions, boards, and committees. Following new and or reappointments to those boards, the city will be conducting a commissioner's orientation in February. Additionally, there have been preliminary discussions regarding recommendations for establishing a centralized permanent record storage area. Trends in the City Clerk's Division include an increase, continue to include an increase in public information activities and requests for public records, an increase in scanning of records due to limited physical storage space in city facilities, and conducting annual updates to the citywide records retention schedule to reflect changes in law and to incorporate new records. Unmet needs include a long-term centralized record storage area, which I previously mentioned, And combined staffing reductions in administration that have occurred due to multiple reorganizations over the past 10 years have resulted in a reduction of in administrative support positions between the city manager's office and the city clerk's office from 3 full-time positions to 1 full-time and 1 part-time position. The current structure provides less time for project work as we focus on the regular ongoing tasks and responsibilities and responding to increased requests for public information and records. Moving on to information technology, you've heard a trend or a theme in the other department presentations so far, because the city relies heavily on information technology systems to conduct its daily business. As the information technology environment in the city has evolved, the workload to maintain and support that environment and remain proactive towards new technology has been a significant challenge. However, to address that need, we just recently completed a successful recruitment to fill a full-time IT specialist position to support the IT division, and you met Jason at the last council meeting. He's stepped right in and hit the ground running. Some of the accomplishments for IT over the past year include upgrading the city server environment. We're in the process of implementing an internet or an enterprise wireless network at City Hall and the council chambers. IT infrastructure improvements were completed for the new courtyard building, and a disaster recovery site at the police department was implemented to provide for a backup of the city's network data. The IT division has also implemented a new IT ticketing and help desk solution and installed an additional broadband internet connection to address increase in long-term impacts for transmitting and storing data and to ensure maximum availability and performance. Current projects include working on implementing a phone emergency alerting system in conjunction with the City Hall Safety and Security Initiative, upgrading the MS office suite from 2007 to 2010, updating existing IT policies and creating new policies as necessary for new systems, and installing a dedicated GIS server to support the city's geographic information system initiative. Anticipated projects include the development of a citywide IT master plan for the city to establish a baseline for existing IT systems, determine trending patterns, and to forecast for future technology and needs, updating the network infrastructure, connecting 5 cities' fire facilities, assisting with recommendations for replacement of the antiquated phone system at the fire authority, increasing storage capacity for all network environments, installing a new firewall to replace aging systems at City Hall and the police department, and expanding the wireless network access to other city facilities. Trends include the increased, we're seeing increased reliance on the internet for hosting city applications, external email, file transfer services, and general internet usage, an increase in requests for wireless access, and an increase in network storage utilization for more data associated with GIS files and general electronic document storage and archival, an increase in the number and type of cybersecurity threats, and working with the 5 cities fire authority to develop an IT strategic plan. Finally, while all city facilities are currently connected via high-speed fiber optic cable, the fire authority facilities are utilizing antiquated copper circuits for access to required IT sources. Multiple solutions have been considered to meet this need, including fiber optic and upgraded copper systems that will provide the required performance and reliability. And providing Wi-Fi access throughout the city organization has also been identified as an unmet need. And with that, I think we go to Chief Annibale.
Not my purse.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm very pleased to be here tonight and talk a little bit about your police department. We've had a very successful year this year, in spite of some challenges, and by all measures in the police department, things are going quite well. We have and continue to have very low crime rates in Arroyo Grande, high visibility, low response times, very low complaints,
Very strong public support, and best of all, no external or internal lawsuits pending within the police department. So those are all good things when you're running a police department. First I'd like to talk about some accomplishments. Although we have 10 accomplishments listed here, I won't put you through those. I have actually narrowed those down into what I would consider four general areas for you to view. And the first is, and probably the absolute best for us, and want to make sure to extend a thanks to everyone that supported us, is in this past year we moved into our new repurposed and reconstructed police facility. It has significantly changed everything that we do and improved everything from our technology to space expansion, safety and security to staff and the public, just in every way, and for a lot less money than the new facility would have been. So that has to be on the list of the number one accomplishment for the year. The second would be in the area of technology. We've been able to improve a lot of our technology this past year. We've expanded the citywide public safety communications repeater system throughout the city. We now have three fully backed up repeater sites in the city that are redundant systems. We've expanded the microwave system linking those areas both for radio and for public video surveillance throughout the city. We've also established emergency radio links between public works, fire, and police, which allow us to basically operate the city services at any one of those locations in an emergency, not just reliant upon one location in the city. And last but not least, we relocated the Emergency Operations Center back to the police department with a host of technology there in that new police department that really has improved our ability to respond in an emergency. All of those initiatives have been funded primarily, almost exclusively, by grant funding also. In addition to technology, another area I wanted to talk about as accomplishments is in the area of crime analysis. We've partnered with community development and the GIS program, hired a part-time intern, and we have gone from zero to hero in the area of crime analysis. We probably lead most agencies right now, if not all, in the county as far as the work being done, and it allows us to better direct our staff and provide information to the public, but also use the crime analysis function to do some predictive policing, so it's a force multiplier for us as we move ahead with that program. We also, the fourth category would be recruitment processes. We've taken our recruitment process, restructured it, streamlined it in an effort to improve the recruiting of officers. And we continue to have challenges in those areas. So I'll talk a little bit about some of our current projects. There's five projects I'd like to just mention quickly. First and foremost, currently, it says we have two police officer vacancies. Well, believe it or not, since the time I've submitted this to the city manager for this PowerPoint presentation, we currently have four police vacancies. We've had two additional losses and one additional long-term workers' comp situation, so we're down actually five positions now in the police department. So that is definitely a challenge and a current project to improve our recruitment and retention of our current staff. Additionally, we, as you know from the last promotional ceremony, the people that are there are actively engaged in training and mentoring new people in their positions because of promotions. We have a new commander, two sergeants, three senior police officers, and then two police officers that were in field training. So a lot of training activities are going on in the department, so definitely a current project is bringing people up to speed. Again, technology, I'll mention once again. We have done a lot of work in technology. The city clerk's already mentioned some of the issues regarding working on the safety initiative to develop a notification system throughout the city. In addition to that, I mentioned the repeater sites. We're also looking to do what they call a voter repeater site this year. We'll eliminate dead spots that we have in our city. We have beautiful terrain in Arroyo Grande. However, it's not beautiful for radio communications because of some of the hills and valleys that we have to try to communicate through. So, again, this is COPS funded. grant funded, and we'll be working on that project. Fleet and equipment, as you probably all know, we operate a very unique and very cost-effective fleet leasing program in the police department for both staff vehicles and patrol vehicles. We are currently working on the patrol fleet, their due replacement in the fall when the lease comes due, and we'll be speccing out what the new vehicles for this upcoming year and this lease period will be. We do utilize, just so you know, a group of a committee of subject matter experts, in other words, the officers, to identify some of the needs they have in the vehicles, along with, of course, cost measures and what's best for our city. And last but not least, some community projects. We're working on a next-generation Neighborhood Watch program. Neighborhood Watch isn't what it used to be. People don't always go out and meet their neighbors and go over for coffee or tea. And so we're looking at some social media-type programs or others to enhance the Neighborhood Watch program. We're also developing an Operation Car Watch, we call it Theft Prevention and Awareness Program, where we will be supplementing awareness signs in high-visibility locations in parking lots where we've had a very high rate of theft from vehicles. If you recall recently, in one neighborhood, we had a very high theft from vehicle rate. Our crime analysis people got together and told us what was going on as far as in the neighborhood, why we were having some of those issues. And in addition to that, we did a lot of outreach, both with flyers to the community and also, if you remember, our big traffic sign flashing, reminding people to lock their cars and take their valuables. That resulted in a 66% drop in theft from vehicles in the next reporting month. So making people aware of what they can do is quite important. Some anticipated projects coming up. We're going to be working with some of our regional law enforcement partners on a next-generation records management software. Throughout San Luis Obispo County, we're very blessed to have all agencies except one, San Luis City, operate on the same records management system. However, that system is getting very long in the tooth and in need of updating. It's been operating probably for about 15 years, and for software, that's getting pretty old. What we're hoping to do on our part is to encourage our partners throughout the county to stay with a combined records management system, both for both cost reductions, but also the ability to share information back and forth. And so we'll be working on that with our counterparts. We're going to begin the design process on a dispatch backup communication center as part of the contract communications design, again, COPS funded. In other words, what that means is, if you recall, when we contracted with the sheriff's office and went into the construction of the building, we took down our communication center that was there. The plan is to stand up a communications type center there, and I say type only because we will not have the backup PSAP, or data in the 911 call center. There's other locations for that, but we will have communications there. So again, that coupled with the linked communications between fire, police, public works, and the repeater sites should put us in a very good place as far as our communications. And then again, we're going to begin the design process for the next generation in-car technology. Again, our cars are getting ready to roll out at the end of this year, and the technology that's in those cars actually transfers from fleet to fleet. We don't change those each time we change the fleet. So the when I say technology, what I mean is the mobile data, the computers that are in the cars. The ones that are in there now are about going on 9 years old. And much of the programming and information that we're gathering now, including crime analysis information that we'd like to pump out to the officers in the field to make them more efficient, those computers won't handle it. So part of the program will be also to integrate those new computers in the cars along with body camera integration with those computers. We've held off on that. We've held off for a variety of reasons. We thought it was very vendor-driven in the beginning, and there were some issues that needed to be redressed. And given that we have a very low complaint rate, it didn't push up as a priority. However, now that we're looking at new technology, we're going to definitely look at how we can implement that. The plan is to utilize, again, COPS funding for this technology. Some trends that we have, obviously, absolutely the number one trend or issue we have is regarding recruitment and retention. Every police agency is hiring all around us, regionally and throughout the state. It's incredibly important for us to not only be competitive as far as recruiting people, but also in order to retain people. Some agencies recently have introduced different bonus plans for hiring new people, which I'm assuming will all be positive or successful. But my concern, quite frankly, is for the officers that are between 2 and 7 years, where we already have quite an investment and skill set with those officers. And we really want to try to address those issues so we can keep them here. We're going to be looking at some succession planning opportunities and with all those new promotions that we had. One of the things we need to do is to develop people to take on the next level in the organization, including chief of police. And so it's important for us to work to develop those opportunities. The next is increased demand for neighborhood services and code enforcement. I think we all know that ever since we combined that program with community development, it's been an incredible success. We've had numerous other cities come to us and ask, how are you doing what you're doing to make AG look the way it does? But with that success comes increased workload. And currently we're operating, as we'll talk in a minute, with just 2 part-time people doing that function. Technology continues, and crime analysis, again, will continue for us because of, as I said, the ability for us to do predictive policing. We have a shrinking size of our police department over a period of time, and using some of this technology has really improved the way we can respond to crimes in our community. Last but not least, some unmet needs in the police department. Here is the Neighborhood Services Program. Currently, we operate 2 part-time technicians with the idea of at some point we would like to look to go to one full-time and one part-time. So you would have a full-time technician throughout the week with the part-time technician coming in to cover the weekend with a slight overlap near the end of the week. In addition to all the code enforcement issues they handle right now, we have the potential for other things such as medical marijuana permitting, styrofoam enforcement, and, of course, the ongoing code enforcement issues. It's quite a challenge for 2 part-timers to handle that. One of the part-timers we have, as you know, Rick Enberg, is a retired police sergeant. He's got a great amount of experience, but I also know that he's not long for the job. He retired once, and he's doing this part-time, and when comes time to recruit, to fill that void is going to be difficult if all we're looking for is a part-timer in that position. We want to look at reintroducing part-time parking enforcement position in the village. Once we combine neighborhood services, code enforcement, and parking enforcement into one unit, one of the things that kind of fell off the map a bit was the parking enforcement. They got so busy with code enforcement issues throughout the city that parking enforcement or consistent parking enforcement has been a challenge for us. The idea of possibly bringing back a part-time parking enforcement person at a lower rate, since they're only dealing with the parking enforcement issues, is something that we're going to be looking at as an unmet need. And last but not least is funding for an administrative sergeant position to provide career development and succession planning for future command officers. This is a position that's been carried on the budget unfunded since 2009 and 10. Always shows up on the budget, but is unfunded. And the benefit of this position is if you currently look at our police department, other than patrol and a detective assignment for sergeants, there's no other career development for people in our department. The administrative sergeant position, which we had at one time before 2009, provided them the opportunity to move into an assignment that allowed them to learn about staff reports, working with council, working with other departments, and those administrative functions that they don't get when they work in patrol or when they're working as a caseload sergeant and detectives. So at some point, we're hoping that that administrative sergeant position will return so that we can develop that next generation of leaders in the organization. And with that, I think that's it. Goes next to Public Works.
Mayor Hill, members of council, Jeff English, Public Works Director. I always enjoy this evening. Sometimes we get focused on our own departments and we don't see the accomplishments of our coworkers, and it's quite a list of accomplishments. And Public Works has also been very successful this year. We've been very busy and have a number of accomplishments, actually 3 pages long, so I won't bore you with all of every detail, but there are a few that I'd like to highlight. And this has been mentioned a couple times. The drought has been a game changer for us and really has been a significant workload increase. But I'm very proud of the response that our department has made to it as well. We have staff who go out and actually help the residents out in the field and deal with water conditions. Our utility staff is very heavily involved with drought response as well. So a significant accomplishment. It continues to be a demand, but nonetheless, we've made significant progress. I also want to talk about the in-house evaluations. We did some asset management. Tonight, several of the departments talk about asset replacement and asset management and how do we fund our deferred maintenance liabilities. We actually have gone out in the field and done some inspections, field inspections ourselves, and some measurement. Many times those are projects that are done by consultants. We've actually done that work in-house, and we'll be packaging that up, and later in my report I'll talk a little bit about that as well. I always enjoy it when we do in-house projects as opposed to contracting out. Whenever we can, we like to do capital projects, and we actually invited you out to a project where we talked about an in-house nitrification reduction project at some of our water reservoirs, and that was a successful project this year as well. Also wanted to mention the city-owned landscape water conservation projects. We have been a partner with our residents. This last month, I don't know if you are aware, we reduced our water consumption from 2013 by 49%, a striking reduction, and the residents in Arroyo Grande need to be commended. But we've also been part of the solution, and our use of water in city landscape areas has been reduced by 50% over the same period as well. And that was all done through projects that were completed by our staff. And so our park staff have removed turf in a variety of areas, and we continue to do so. And that's been very significant. Also wanted to point out the swinging bridge project at the bottom there. That was a challenge. We'd never done that before. The folks who were in our department had not been involved when the staff repaired the bridge many years ago. And so we essentially took that bridge apart board by board, replaced fasteners, and replaced it to the extent that we could do repairs on the existing bridge structure. So that was also an accomplishment we're very proud of. There's a page of capital projects. Capital projects continues to be a substantial amount of our workload. And we have one capital project manager who oversees all of our capital projects throughout the year. And that continues to be a significant part of our accomplishments. That's one thing we do. So we generate lots of lists of capital project completions. Also, on our current projects, that consumes much of what we do throughout the year as well. And I have 3 pages of capital projects that are all in your budget as well. And so I won't go through them line by line. But I did want to point out a couple of them that are upcoming. We will be dealing with the Women's Club kitchen renovation project this year. That's a significant one. And the City Hall restroom project was actually completed. We also have a number of projects that are operational in nature and not capital projects. The Urban Water Management Plan will come before you here soon. And we will be up. That's a 5-year update, and it's 2010 was the last time. So actually, they do it every 5 years, although they didn't give us the instructions on it until this year. So it's actually being done. The 2015 update is being done in 2016. We will also be responding to the recent revision in the governor's water conservation executive order. We're still trying to sort that out. We're getting information from the county and looking at our groundwater to see really what the best course of action is with regard to that executive order. Have a number of other projects I'll point out on that list. The pavement management plan will be coming before you at the end of July. That's a significant project for us. And also a comprehensive asset replacement report. We've talked about the fact that we brought before you previously an infrastructure replacement for parks, buildings, and we'll be bringing roads before you here soon, and then we'll be working on sidewalks. We previously did drainage. The plan is to roll that all into one report and look at some kind of comprehensive funding strategy for our asset replacement. Anticipated project, there are a number of anticipated projects that are not necessarily budgeted projects, but they're important nonetheless. We have dealt with assessment of our drainage facilities, but have not addressed drainage improvements. So we actually develop a drainage master plan, and that will compile all the potential drainage improvements, system enhancements. We still have some areas where there's some localized flooding. There are some minor drainage issues that need to be addressed as well. We're also doing that project in-house. Working cooperatively with recreation, we're looking at some Soto Sports Complex field use policies. We provide a tremendous service level to youth sports groups and tournaments in our community, and which are not necessarily reflected in other communities. I think our service level needs to be looked at and addressed, and so we will be doing that in concert with recreation. One of the significant challenges with regard to special events is the use of water barricades. Continues to be a source of frustration and expenditure. We're actually looking at the potential to install removable bollards at various locations throughout the village. This will be part of a more comprehensive special events strategy that will be coming to you in the future as well. But that's something we're trying to analyze, what the cost of installing those are. It's actually more significant than just putting a pipe in the ground. There's a lot involved. Facilities master plan, working with the city manager on a project that she did in a previous community. We're looking at all of our facilities in a comprehensive manner to see how they address our staffing needs and our community desires, so we'll be bringing that forward as well. Open channel drainage and maintenance permitting. We have addressed some of our capital project asset replacements. However, we do have a number of areas where there are creeks that have silted up or have vegetation that is causing some drainage problems. Permitting challenges alone will take a year or more. We're starting that process now, particularly the Oak Park Equestrian area. Down off of Tiger Tail, there are a number of places where we have some concerns about potential flooding. I would like to deal with some flooding problems, but we would hope that they would be managed to some extent. Safety problems, there's been some discussion already. We have a number of policies that we either do not have in place or that need to be updated. And so working cooperatively with administrative services, many of those safety programs affect public works. There are policies regarding dealing in trenches. So when the guys go down to work on a pipe in a trench, there have to be certain protections in place, and we have to have a policy in place and certain measures. Those kinds of programs affect us greatly, and so we'll be working closely on those as well. And already mentioned previously is the Recreation Department Facility Plan. That'll show up on one of our unmet needs as well. In terms of trends, talked about the drought and the impacts of drought on our staffing has been significant. Although we're getting better, we're starting to manage that and really refine it. It still continues to be a challenge. Unfunded mandates, you'll hear this as a mantra from a number of the departments. The stormwater particularly has been very challenging. It is a state mandate from the Water Resources Control Board, and we are complying with those. It does pose a challenge in our compliance for funding and for staffing. Many communities have a dedicated stormwater manager or some kind of a compliance officer of some type. Our strategy has been to delegate those responsibilities amongst the various departments, and so just managing, making sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's is very important. Continue focus on that. But there are also unfunded mandates in regard to sanitary sewer, water, ADA, emissions, that we spend quite a bit of time trying to manage our response to. A reduction in gas tax has adversely affected road maintenance funding. You've heard that before. You'll hear it again. We're pretty frustrated with the reduction in gas tax and the fact that the legislature has not been able to solve that issue. Increased training requirements and standards across the all levels. Maintenance routine tasks suffering due to other demands on public works staff and reduced post-recession staffing levels. We will periodically get calls from residents, why aren't we taking care of the weeds on James Way or whatever street it might be. We have focused on priorities, and those priorities might be safety issues such as potholes or drainage issues or complying with stormwater standards. It's still important to us to address those weeds. However, sometimes they aren't done as quickly as some of our residents would like. They still remain a priority for us. And then the water fund reduction due to water conservation. That's a double-edged sword of water conservation. It's been wonderful, and it's helped with our supply issue with regard to water, but our water fund is suffering. Increased reliance on volunteers and community groups. It's a wonderful thing. I just have to compliment Recreation. Sheridan has been tremendous at bringing in volunteers to assist with some traditional public works activities. Groups like Rio Grande and Bloom are tremendous in their assistance to us. And that's kind of been our norm. It's a trend in our department particularly. Number of departments have mentioned our move towards technology. The GIS-based work systems are very helpful, and the benefits that we've received from this recent mapping has been phenomenal. All levels of our department, in the past you didn't have your maintenance workers inputting on the computer, and now we do, and some of those folks aren't necessarily trained to do that. Fortunately, some of the younger generation adapt to it pretty quickly. However, it is a trend kind of citywide, in particular hitting public works as well. Heavy load of significant of capital projects is stretching our one capital project manager. We're getting quite a bit done, and you see from our capital projects accomplishments list. And then the increased development review and processing time. We appreciate the cooperation of community development. They actually work closely with us to make sure that we get an opportunity to review development plans, to make sure that the sewer and water demands are met and the conditions are dealt with. But it does pose an additional workload on our staff as well. Unmet needs, potential supplemental water supply needed in 2018. It is my number one, two, and three priority is to keep track of that and make sure that we're keep our eye on that issue. And we're working behind the scenes regularly to address potential water supply. Deferred maintenance, we've talked about this already. We have done some infrastructure assessments, looked at the total depreciation, and looked at some set-asides for parks and open space, buildings, and drainage. Roads and sidewalks are coming. Some additional unmet needs, Elm Street Recreation Center repairs and renovation. We have been waiting for what transpires with the Five Cities Men's Club effort to build a recreation center. And how our needs for recreation will fit into that, but that building continues to be a significant source of concern. The sidewalk repair backlog, we make progress on that every year, and I think we've been making good progress. We've dealt with a number of the significant trip hazards. However, as soon as we fix them, trees pop new locations, and so it's a constant battle and continues to be a backlog. ADA improvements, I think I did an assessment a while back. We have about $5 million worth of curb ramps that either need to be installed or upgraded throughout town. And so we'll be bringing an ADA transition plan to you in the near future to address how do we prioritize those needs. Street tree maintenance, we do a pretty good job on street trees, and we have a wonderful Tree City USA. However, that does continue to be a significant challenge. We essentially have one staff person dedicated to trees. Pete does a tremendous job. He's a super guy, but he's not a superhero. So we're constantly dealing with tree issues. NPDES stormwater compliance, talked about that already, and that continues to be a challenge for us. And then just continued low staffing levels. I anticipate that we could use four additional staff members to meet the current demands. We are meeting that need now with either part-time or employees or contracted employees and or just juggling work and not completing tasks that should be completed. With that, that completes my portion of the report, and I'll turn this over to John Rogers.
Good evening, Mayor Hill, council members. In this current fiscal year, the Recreation Services Department has organized and overseen more events and activities than any other time in our history. And it, what I'm going to do is just highlight some of the highlights outside of that, because that's our normal job. We were able to hire the volunteer coordinator this year, and that's already in a very short period of time reaping some nice benefits, one of which is the reduction in the having to demand the time of the Public Works Department to help, especially in some of our special events. But that program has also resulted in the introduction of a new Adopt-a-Park agreement, which we introduced to the Parks and Recreation Commission in the June meeting. You'll be hearing more about that in the near future. That's a very exciting new program that we have to basically have individuals, businesses, groups adopt a park or a project in a park or green space to enhance the service that the Public Works Department is able to do. We've also introduced, this year, we've also attracted four new youth or adult tournaments at the sports complex. One of our goals, as you know, in the past, the sports complex is to try to bring in a little bit more revenue to help offset some of the costs that cost to operate that facility. Each tournament will directly affect city revenue in the positive of approximately $1,500. So the more tournaments we attract, of course, the more we bring in direct money to pay for that. But it also has a very indirect positive indirect revenue for the area businesses. So, you know, there's a kind of a little formula that's involved. But basically, if you have one tournament with, let's say, 10 teams, each team has 10 families, each family spends X amount of dollars, it really can generate a lot of local revenue for local businesses. The current projects that really are taking up some significant amount of time are the conversion of our tennis court number 5 into a permanent pickleball court. As you're probably aware, that project is kind of being led by the Five Cities Men's Club. They've stepped up to fund the project and even do some of the conversion work. We hope to have that project completed by mid-July, mid to end of July. The upgrade of the Women's Club Community Center kitchen is a very important project. It's got a lot of moving parts to it, a lot of community input. We want to make sure that we come out with the best project that we can, and we're moving forward with that in a real positive way. Also, we'll we're really starting to roll out the volunteer program now. It'll gain momentum, and that'll also be an ongoing project for us. But Sheridan is doing an excellent job of community outreach with groups, businesses, all different kinds of possible volunteer groups. Some of the projects that will be upcoming here will be to develop the Recreation Department facility plan, to finish up the Women's Club project, to promote the new Adopt-a-Park program. We also have a lot of potential on our department web pages to enhance the effectiveness of the Volunteer and Adopt-a-Park program by making specific outreach programs on our web pages for the community. And then we also, in our never-ending effort to find new revenue sources, we're going to be rolling out a Soto Sports Complex banner advertising program for a couple of the fields. You're aware now, I'm sure, that some of the youth groups do their own advertising fundraising for their groups, but we're going to be rolling out a program for a couple of the fields that we use pretty much exclusively for our sports programs to generate some revenue. I would say that the major new trends or major continuing trends for us are the increased need for programming for a growing senior population. With the continuing rise in the retirement of baby boomers, there's more people of that age group, and they're an active age group. They're looking for activities, and that's part of our responsibility to figure out what activities we can provide for them. And again, it's a trend in recreation everywhere, especially in California, to identify new funding methods to enhance the services as much as we can and be as responsible as we can with the tax dollars. Our main unmet need is to develop the facility plan, the Recreation Department facility plan, including the planning and funding for an upgrade or replacement of the Elm Street Community Center. That facility continues to provide many challenges, and it's certainly in its current state is not a long-term solution to our either the child care that we have there or the staff offices. And with that, I will turn it back over.
This presentation was intended to give the council an overview of our current and projected workload, as you've heard, as well as the trends and unmet needs. And this slide indicates some of the themes in terms of challenges citywide that we face. So, before we conclude our presentation, I would like to introduce Don Maruska, who is in the audience this evening, and he is our selected facilitator for the council goal setting. And I'd like to ask Don to introduce himself briefly and to make any comments he'd like to offer on the council goal setting process.
Thank you very much. Well, Mayor Pro Tem and council members, members of the public, I'm pleased to have the opportunity to work with you on the goal setting process that you're doing. This is something that I've done for the last two decades with over 50 local government agencies and not-for-profits around the state of California and really throughout the world. It all gears off of the research I've done on how great decisions get made, the book I wrote on that topic, so it's founded in hard science about what works to help bring people together to figure out important objectives and results. What I wanted to do is just take a moment to cover a few key questions you might have about this or the public may have. You know, why do a goal-setting process? There's really value for you as the council to have an opportunity for you to highlight key things that you think are of importance, for the staff to understand your priorities as they execute and have to do trade-offs in their daily activities, and for the public to have an understanding of what you're really picking out as key things of importance. This enhances awareness and accountability. You'll note that you're being asked to submit your suggestions for 7 goals. The reason for 7 is that just like they came up with 7 is the number of numbers for your telephone number, it's about what people can remember. So we're looking to really help you achieve some focus through this, and focus is your friend. For any organization, focus is tremendously useful in helping to achieve results. Obviously, everything that your staff, from their professional point of view, is highlighting this evening and that they're doing on an ongoing basis, each of those things is important. You're funding those things to be done, so it's not as if anything here is unimportant. It's rather, where do you want to put your focus? So what's the value of doing a workshop format for accomplishing this? I want to speak to that a little bit. First of all, it's a great opportunity for you to find agreement amongst yourselves. So this is all about the exercise of finding what are the highest and most important things to be done and to be seeking a broad range of agreement. Hopefully, consensus across you, although we won't limit it to consensus because that can keep important things that a majority of you would like to have happen from going forward. But really looking for what's the sense of the community about what really is most important to get done. The workshop format, which we'll be doing in an informal roll-up-your-sleeves kind of basis, will be one in which I'll be taking that composite list of suggestions that you have by category. We'll start with the category that has the most interest from you as council members, as evidenced by your statements of suggestions. And we'll work through those and see what the wording would be. How do you come up with, as they say, SMART goals that are specific, measurable, achievable in the time you have, realistic and time-bound. And so this is a way, in a facilitated format, for the council and the staff to be working interactively. As you're coming up with your articulation of your key goals, it'll be a chance to check in with the staff. Do you have capacity to do that? Are there goals that are stacked on top of each other that the same work group would have to do? So you need to do some further trade-offs. It's a way for you to help really figure out what's going to be doable and how to achieve that focus. So again, in terms of the overall process, your city manager has highlighted you each have a suggestion form. You can fill it out electronically or in handwritten form with seven suggestions you have. Hopefully they're not, each one isn't a big composite suggestion of sub-goals within it, but you know, fairly discrete items. That'll come in by noon on Monday, June 20th, and then your staff will be preparing this composite list for you to have and look at in advance of June 27th so that you'll have a chance to see, well, what have your colleagues come up with? City councils across the state and beyond have found it very useful to follow this format and to actually not do on an individual basis a lot of going public with, well, hey, here's my list, because they find from their colleagues that there might be things that they hadn't thought of that they wish that they had included on their list. And working in this way, you can work together to find what's going to be most important. We'll see if the list that you come up with is one that can be pared down to things that are achievable and focused enough. If there's a need for further prioritization, we'll take a look at the end of the evening on the 27th at varying ways that you could be working to identify your preferences in a more fine-tuned way. If we come up with, you know, potentially you could have, if you all had seven different goals and there are five of you, you know, you'd have 35 things. That's way too much. But maybe it'll coalesce down all on its own. But if it doesn't, then there'll be a need and an opportunity to do some additional prioritization. The result of all this is that then you'll hopefully have a set of goals that you'd be proud of, that you'll want to have up on your wall, that as you're thinking about what you're doing in the remainder of this year, you'll have a chance to be referring to that. To when the public asks you to take on additional things, you can take a look and say, well, hey, how's that going to work with the goals we established? Does the new idea trump those? Does it compete with those? Does it complement those? How do you want to work through that? As I was talking with your mayor and Mayor Pro Tem and your city manager about this, they all agreed that it probably made sense, given that you have an election coming up, and then you're going in and you're on the last of your the 2 years of your budget cycle with a new two-year budget coming up, that it made sense to do this in sort of a goal-setting light kind of format. So while other communities often have a community forum or other things with lots of public input and other things preceding the goal-setting process, you know, you're at a pretty advanced stage in your budgeting process here, and the feeling was, while you'd want to encourage the public to provide as much input as they would like and to give you input, that really at this juncture it really made sense for you as council members to be distilling what you know and hear from the public and what information the public may share with you as well, to come up with what you see as targeted goals for this remaining year of the two-year budget cycle. So I hope that I've been able to address maybe some questions that you have in mind about this, a little bit of a feeling for how this is going to go. My role here is to serve you. I have no agenda about what you choose. Rather, my skill is in helping to give you a process that will bring out the best and most productive results from you on behalf of your community. So I'm pleased to do that, and I don't know if there might be any questions, but I want to be sure that you're all at comfort about what you're going to be doing and how it's going to proceed so that you can have a productive session on behalf of the City of Aurora Grande.
Time frame for our goals. So given that it's goals light, is this a one-year?
Yeah, this would be because you're the impaneled council for the remainder, and you're deciding on the budget that's in place for 2016-2017. I would encourage you to have that as your framework. Now, certainly you may have in mind that there are bigger, longer-term things that are needed. What I would seek to do with you is to help you collectively figure out, okay, if that's a long-range goal, what is it that you could meaningfully bite off and accomplish in the one-year time frame that this is the focal point for? If you were to go forward next year with some more goal setting, you know, you'd be doing with a two-year time frame, maybe with a broader view and a longer-term horizon.
Thank you very much.
I'll look forward to seeing you on the 27th. Thank you very much. I can see that you're hard at work with many, many things, so it'll be a great exercise to see what bubbles up as your main priorities. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. So the next item on our agenda this evening is for council comments and questions.
So comments and questions on the presentation.
Are you looking for a volunteer?
Anyone ready to start?
I'll go ahead and start. It's always, I think, Director English mentioned that sharing the accomplishments, I think, is a good thing, especially halfway through our one-year budget cycle. I think it's very good perspective because you do lose sight as we're here at city council meetings dealing with agenda after agenda. We're kind of looking at it as small little chunks and being able to see an overview not only of what's being accomplished but the work involved and the dedication of staff. I think that's really important, and I think it's a good message to send to the city, the people that live here, just how well we're working and how hard everybody is working on behalf of the residents of our city. With that being said, it also gives us a snapshot and a reminder of various things that, you know, the Halcyon Road complete streets, for example. That's something that it's only, I think, the second time I've really heard about it. That doesn't mean it hasn't been ongoing, but it just really hasn't risen to that level, either at this dais or just, you know, casual conversation. So for me, the feedback that I'll give is that it kind of refocused certain things that maybe we kind of lost sight of because of other pressing goals. Or the other concern I have is that there's that balance that always has to be achieved. And just sitting here for this last year, I kind of felt like our direction related to some of the maybe concerns that are coming from other agencies at the podium, for an example, the concern related to styrofoam use, that was an important topic. But when I look at the big picture here and what we heard tonight, could that have been something that could have been looked at a little differently, or maybe not raised to the priority that it did? And so I think that this exercise is really helpful for that. So with that being said, I think I have plenty of information to move forward with our next step. I'll be really encouraging the community comments. whether they come to us via email or telephone or letter or from the podium, I think that's another critical part to touch base and make sure we're, you know, in the same path that the community also is on. And that's all I got.
Councilmember Barnage.
Are we doing questions right now?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to take them all at once, or are we going to?
What would be the most convenient for staff to do would be to have department by department, probably, and then all the council can ask their questions.
It's up to the council, however you'd like to structure the conversation, if you'd like to go by department or if you'd just like to make general comments. And you're not making or taking any action this evening, so if you don't have a lot of comments or a lot of questions, that's okay. This is really a time for you to take information in and then be ready to kind of process that information in preparation for your goals over the next couple weeks. But certainly whatever questions or comments you have, we'd like to hear.
Does anyone else have questions?
I have one or two.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I just, some of the questions, it's just I hadn't heard of some of the things that were up on the screen, and so I think for the people at home, too, I don't know if they'll ever hear again or I'll ever hear again, so I want to just ask some quick questions. The Community Development Department, I have some questions on that first. So, Teresa, regarding the parking study, and then you talked about surveys and deployment, I think you said. We've been hearing a lot about that, but can you just give me a really short summary of I think I know what you're doing as far as the surveys and the deployment, but will you explain that quickly?
Sure. In order to kind of better define, you know, the parking problem in different sectors, the commercial development areas, the residential areas, what may be problematic in terms of incoming development. So we've developed surveys for each of those kind of realms, and we're going to get some targeted areas or groups to give us feedback, and then we can better come back to the Planning Commission and work through each of those areas, so we are not, just relying on other jurisdictions or, you know, other kind of industry standards, but we're kind of looking at how best to define the problem and then address it through different potential new standards.
So the surveys will be taken by people in the neighborhood or businesses in the area where there seems to be a problem?
Right.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then the RFP, I guess it's another RFP for the East Grand Avenue Master Plan. When do you expect that to go out again?
We've been holding back on that to enable, to ensure we have staff ability to manage the RFP process and potential contractor or consultant. We did put that out last year, just didn't get bites. We did, you know, call consultants. It seemed that we just hit the wrong time. Everybody's ramping up with development and getting hit with RFPs without having previously staffed up. So timing was an issue. We'll roll that out again, but we would like that to be done in conjunction with some other economic development efforts so that we can, if we're going to get some market leakage study, for example, we can have that going at the same time we're working on our East Grand Avenue corridor plan.
Okay, that's what my question was, because if we're going to work on economic development, it seems like that has to go right along with it. Okay.
Right.
And then you talked about the comprehensive sign ordinance update, and then you talked about, I think, state regs, or what are those?
Well, I should clarify. There's rather, it's a some recent court cases that are having kind of significant ramifications on our sign ordinance, and where we were going about a sign ordinance update, and we had to wait for some pretty significant case law to be settled, and it has, and it does have some ramifications, our code, and so we're working those, we're kind of having to revamp what we thought we were going to do for our sign ordinance and bring that back.
Okay, thank you for that. I think those are my only questions for community development. City Clerk, I have one question. Is that what we're going to do? You want me to do all of them, or you want
to? Just let it go. Unless you, did you have something, Jeff?
I had a question for you.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Let's do it by department.
Yes, let's do it by department. I think that would be a little more organized.
So just real quickly on the Halcyon Road plan, which is, I think, really about a traffic calming issue with traffic coming into the city. Is that going to be a plan that's going to be transferable to the other locations, like ongoing issues that we've had at WASNA, and I'm sure we've had comments at Elm Street as well, of, you know, where traffic's coming in from the county fringe areas at speed and needs to be controlled. Is this going to be something we're going to be able to not have to go out and do a repeat study for other areas?
Well, it will be very specific to the characteristics of the Halcyon Road corridor, but in terms of WASNA and Elm, for example, county areas transitioning to the city, I believe certainly there'll be components of the plan that will be transferable.
Thank you. That's my only question.
I don't want to get into the weeds because I was under the impression this was mainly informational, but since people seem to be asking pointed questions. Regarding the plan checks and the over-the-counter and the kiosk, I'm a little concerned, and maybe it's my misunderstanding, but it seems like you're wanting to do faster plan checks. And we've already had some plan check issues in the last year that I was pretty concerned about, and the classic one was the brewery. And I don't want to see those kind of things kind of happen again, so... how do we maintain the quality for plan checks and speed them up at the same time? That's a concern I have.
Very good question and sort of a daily dilemma. We want to keep plan check times down as much as we can. And time is money, and the developers are very interested in getting efficient plan checks. So that is our goal. We also need to make sure that we're very thorough in those plan checks, and involves different divisions. You heard Jeff speak to utilities having to review plans, and there's things we can do to make sure that the time period remains constant or low. When we get too many in at one time, we now have consultants on board to help us with those plan checks, and that's in engineering and now building. We can farm some of those out, and we do just have to make sure that it's internally coordinated. We've developed those systems. They're getting better, and further refinements may include some simple things for folks to come in and check on their progress. That's the kiosk. That's the open ability to look online at the progress of their plan check. So we're going to focus on those next.
Thank you for that. That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I think the only other question I have, and this is just a general question, if we're focused on for 1 year and 1 year goals, I think it's just an important parameter that we perhaps check in with the department heads related to the goal to make sure if it's actually realistic, depending on any RFPs that are needed, related to is it actually something that feasibly either can be initiated in 1 year, completed in 1 year, what those parameters are, so we don't kind of do an unrealistic goal setting where all of the things that we may end up identifying, they're more, I think, the... facilitator said more long-term, so maybe if we do a check-in perhaps, and then also to be mindful that there are certain projects that are already underway for completion, and so how do we straddle those that are already underway and prioritize with anything else that we may move forward, and again the balancing, I guess that's where the facilitator would come in. So my question would be, at least put the directors on notice that I would likely do the check-in to ask those questions about the feasibility and the timelines, because I don't know a lot of the, I'm aware of it, but I don't know realistically on some of the things like the budget, the new budget format. You know, that could be an 18-month project, not including any software. So I think there really wasn't a question, was there? Okay, I'm sorry, that was more of a comment. But I will be asking those questions as we move forward. Thank you. All right, I'm done.
Okay. On the 500 building permits, how many of those are commercial? Just roughly percentage vice residential.
I'll be happy to look that up, but I wouldn't want to take that guess tonight.
Okay. Then on the East Branch streetscape and the Halcyon Complete Streets, those the studies are grant funded, but no actual physical improvements are funded by those grants. Is that correct?
That's correct. They'll get us the plans, and we'll be in position to apply for the construction funding.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned target opportunity sites. Are those available to review that we can see what the plan is actually?
They're draft documents right now. They'll be a component of the economic strategic plan and implementation plan. So I would say they're a good draft stage right now. I'm happy to talk to the city manager if we want to roll those out in advance.
And I continue to be interested in a review of parking requirements. So I'm still would like to get a timeline on when that'll come forward to the council. And just a passing comment then, we mentioned economic development in terms of permitting and development, but drought obviously is the ongoing drought in the region is certainly a concern with development efforts as well. So I think we need to, obviously we are, and I know that the city departments are working well and working with our neighboring jurisdictions as well to try to integrate that effort to get, for example, recycled water planning and things such that we can, I think that kind of goes hand in hand with development as well. Okay.
Next.
Okay.
So I think on the Wi-Fi, the wireless access, I think it was an unmet need. Kelly, would that be eventually in city council chambers and then in like the women's club, anything the city owned?
Yeah, the city, right now it's the city hall in the council chambers. That's going to be active quite soon. The project's complete. We're just rolling it out. Okay. But yeah, expanding it to the courtyard, okay, the police department, all the city facilities. That's the goal.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. And then I have just a couple questions for Chief Annibale.
Ask Kelly a quick question.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Sorry, Kelly. Just following up on the records, you mentioned the need for a records facility storage space.
Right.
And since the trend would certainly be going to electronic records, correct, why would we need...
So I highlighted that last year in the budget report that currently we have permanent records hard copy storage in like 4 to 5 city locations, including the basement at the Women's Club. Primarily those are really, really old community development files entitled projects that are permanent records that we found when we did our imaging project a couple of years ago that it would be far, far too expensive and to back file scan. So we went back a certain number of years to scan
records and then put a process in place moving forward. So we have records upstairs in a locked office upstairs. We have records in the basement at the old city hall. And what we're trying to do is, with the exception of the Women's Club, because those records will probably stay there for the interim until we move them off-site to a contracted facility such as like DocuTeam in San Luis Obispo. But for the remaining records that we have kind of scattered throughout the city that are really much older records that are permanent and can't be destroyed, we do have a facility at the Corpyard right now that houses city manager, city clerk, and finance records and some very old engineering records. But I've been working with Director English to he's with their new improvements at the administration yard at the Corpyard, they've are establishing centralizing public records requests, so it's going to open up some space over there, and it's really just centralizing the records that we have at all these kind of random places. So, but definitely moving forward, we're scanning most of our records. There's just some records that are paper records right now that that we retain that we'll be scanning and destroying originals because we're securing those records in an off-site location for disaster recovery purposes. So,
thank you.
I have comments, but no questions right now.
Great, thank you very much.
Okay, two questions, Chief Annibale. You mentioned the in-car technology is 9 years old. That seems pretty old as far as technology goes. So what's norm for something like that?
Well, I think most IT people will tell you that, 3 to 5 years at best on some of this technology. Of course, vehicle in-car equipment has to be a little bit more rugged than what we would use as a desktop, those kinds of things. So we try to stretch them out as far as we can. Basically, what we do is try to a lease period for the vehicles is a 4-year lease period. During the time we have the cars on lease, they're completely covered on their vehicle warranties. So what we try to do is outfit them with the new technology and hopefully get through 2 lease periods, which we have done with the latest equipment.
Okay. And then I didn't know that the parking enforcement, I always remember that nice lady marking the tires, and I haven't seen her in a while, so now I know I don't think she's there anymore.
Her husband and her retired.
Okay. So right now, who does the, I assume there's a little bit of a parking problem in the village, and then who does the parking enforcement now, the code enforcement officers?
Right. Both neighborhood services officers are also assigned to do parking. However, in all honesty, it's a low priority based on some of their caseload they have on other code enforcement issues. They do try to on a regular basis, though, to get through so that we can have some consistency in parking enforcement. And the key in successful parking enforcement is consistency. So you help people develop good behavior as far as it relates to parking.
Okay. Thank you for that. Those are all my questions for Chief.
I continue to be...
Go ahead, I'll follow you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim, go ahead.
So one real specific one, which I don't really expect you to be able to answer, and that's the number of sworn officers in 2006. So I realize you're going to have to get back to me on it, but since it's a technical question, I didn't want to get out before I got off on something else. And I wonder if you could comment, one of the big changes we made last year was the change to dispatch from the Sheriff's Department. And wanted to comment on how that's worked out in both financially and kind of related to that. You mentioned the COPS grants for improving our local system to continue to finish that out. And I want you to comment on that versus the fact that we've now changed dispatch to somewhere else and what exactly we're accomplishing by creating a second dispatch system there.
Well, first and foremost, as far as the contracting communications with the Sheriff's Office, that has worked out very well for us. There was some an initial adjustment period for both the Sheriff's Office and for us because they were new to municipal policing as far as dispatching. Now they're getting pretty good at it, and the Namoro Bay also has their dispatch services provided by the Sheriff. It roughly cost us half what it did cost us to operate our own dispatch center, but more importantly, even than the savings, is the fact that the capacity of that dispatch center is far beyond what we could have provided here in a realistic cost. In other words, when we operated with one dispatcher in the evening hours and all through the wee morning hours, if there was a critical incident that happened, especially when we were dispatching both fire and police at that time, you would have one dispatcher trying to answer 911 calls, also try to dispatch fire trucks and also police vehicles, let alone the fact that there are other calls that continue to come in, not just those emergency calls. Additionally, we couldn't do emergency medical dispatch. Emergency medical dispatch is where a dispatcher is trained to provide and guide a person through a medical emergency at their home, for example, CPR or a choking incident. Once you get in the middle of one of those calls and you're trained to do that, you can't say, can I put you on hold for a minute while I answer this other call? And so we did not have that capacity to do that. We wouldn't have realistically been able to do it unless you had enough people working. So the sheriff's contract really provides us, at minimum at any time, four dispatchers available to us, even though we have one primary dispatcher assigned to us. As far as the radio infrastructure piece, the sheriff's office provides us the service of dispatching. They don't provide the hardware for our radio systems. So, for example, our repeater towers and our radios, whether they're in the cars, on the officers' belts, or in our stations, so that we can have communications from the stations, are provided by the city. And for many years, we have set aside our COPS grants funding for those technologies, which was before my time and I think a very wise idea that allowed us to do this and develop a pretty robust system of communications throughout the city. The dispatch center, the standing up of a dispatch center, is really, and I think I mentioned it kind of modified, we're really not looking to provide for a full dispatch center. We're simply going to put backup radios in that area so that in an emergency we would have the ability to utilize communications here. If the sheriff's Kansas location, not the state, the street, Kansas, was to go down for some reason, and meaning the building was actually compromised, it would allow us to do limited but successful dispatching right out of our police station. And we could actually do that in our public works facility and in our fire department. We have all those same duplicate radios in all those locations now.
So I guess something of a comment, some of a question, and that's the prioritization of that particular effort over, for instance, the new technology for the vehicles and body cameras, using the COP grants for that as opposed to using it for the radio, which is more of an emergency situation.
Actually, the plan is to utilize the COPS grants, continue to use the COPS grants for technology. For example, if we wrap up this communications project, which we're very close to wrapping up, we'll be just getting rolling into the new fleet and the need to provide mobile data out there. One idea on that is to possibly lease the mobile data equipment. You never want to really own electronics very long, and utilize the COPS grant to make the payments on that leased agreement for the equipment that's in the car. So we're trying to use that COPS money to do all our technology needs, whether it be radio or mobile data in the car.
So the plan is ultimately to use the COPS grants for that technology as well, not that we're not using it up for this dispatch system?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right, thank you. That's my question.
No questions right now.
In terms of the recruitment challenges, we have four vacancies in the department right now. And how many applications are we seeing for this?
Right now we will have four vacancies. The fourth vacancy, they just gave their notice, so it's within 2 weeks he'll be gone. Currently we have no applicants. We have two applicants in process, no pending applications. Of the two that we had in backgrounds, we lost one in the background process that was not successful. So we have one still in the background process, and we have two applicants.
And historically, I'm under the impression that we had significant numbers of applicants for openings.
In the past, we've had a significant number of applicants, sometimes as much as 30 to 60 applicants, depending on the process and the times. All the agencies, though, I will tell you, are all actively recruiting and hiring even each other's employees. And so, or on a regular basis, all those agencies are at the academy. We all line up to recruit at the academies. We all, quite frankly, look at each other's employees and try to recruit. And there are some agencies here that offer incentives to their employees and a reduced recruitment time if they recruit from another agency. And we're also going to look to expand to go out into some other areas as far as taking a recruiting effort out into, for example, the Fresno area and some other counties that may not be as actively recruited as here.
I've seen that ad from some of the other jurisdictions that were discussing training and other financial compensation for training and those kinds of programs too. Okay, any other?
I do have one follow-up based on what you did say. When we had the large group here, when the dog retired and we had a number of officers, how many of those officers, I don't remember, were new officers?
Well, that day we swore in, that evening we swore in one new officer. We just put together, although I don't have it with me, a list for the city manager of all our officers, their tenure both in law enforcement and also their tenure with the department, so that we can get a snapshot of that. And we just put that together yesterday. Didn't anticipate that, so I didn't bring it with me. But I can get that information to you.
Great, thank you. That's all, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Been on 2 hours. Can we take a 5-minute break and then we'll continue with questions? So that'll be a quarter after.
Vegetation, and we went in with a contractor and removed a significant amount of that, cut it back, in cooperation with the fire department and their weed abatement standards.
Okay, thank you for that. And then the Soto Sports Complex field use policy, can you explain, give me a brief explanation on, I think you mentioned that there are some, I think what I understood is that the city employees have a lot more interaction than other cities do with different leagues or tournaments. Is that right?
Certainly. And that is an initiative that I've put together with Director Rogers in Recreation, looking at how we manage the sports complex and what services we provide to the organizations right now. We have two full-time employees dedicated to that sports complex. It's a large complex. It's one of the largest in the county, and it gets a tremendous amount of use. And we drag and line the ball fields for that use. And we're looking at opportunities where either those organizations can do some of that work themselves, which they do in many other agencies, or pay a fee that compensates the city for that use. It's kind of a challenging one. We're working with long-time relationships with nonprofit organizations that don't have a lot of money, and so we have some partnerships with those folks where they already help us out on a variety of maintenance efforts to begin with. But we're looking at that comprehensively to see how we could best utilize our staff and be consistent with practices from other agencies.
Okay, thank you. That's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure. Thank you for that. That's a good idea. Those are all my questions for Jeff.
Yeah, just similar questions with the police fire. I don't really expect an answer tonight, but the number of public works employees, you know, water, sewer, and I guess we would have to include parks too, because I know there's been a lot of trading around with positions, 2006 versus today, and full-time versus part-time.
We're actually working on that now. I did that exercise for the streets division just a few days ago. Question came up. Was working with payroll today on developing those numbers. In 2006, we had six full-time park employees. Today we have, full-time streets employees. Today we have three full-time and one part-time. And so there, that's one representative of one division. We're doing the same modeling for all of our divisions.
Appreciate that. That'd be great. Thank you.
One question. Sidewalks has always been an issue for me in every budget cycle, and you talk about accelerated sidewalk repair and maintenance. That doesn't quantify it for me. What I'm trying to figure out is, in terms of what our past history has been and what we want to do, or what you'd like to do, that you can afford to do, what's the acceleration?
Well, the acceleration is, we're looking at some procedural policy issues, and so we'll be bringing back to you, one, the assessment of all of our sidewalks, and really, I don't know what, we know there are challenges, but how big is that challenge that we're dealing with? So we're going to go out this summer and identify every trip hazard and kind of quantify the repairs. How much money do we need to spend on this issue, or staff time? And we're also looking at some policy options about who's responsible for the sidewalk repair. If it's a private property tree that caused the damage, do we hold the property owner accountable? State law actually allows us to do that, and that's actually what the state law says. That has not been our practice, so we're going to look at some of our practices and some of the options that we have for managing sidewalks. We do have some funds set aside this year. Probably one of the worst stretches in the city is the stretch over the 101 overpass on Grand Avenue, literally from the Shell station to McDonald's. However, we are waiting. We're not sure what the issue is, where we will go with regard to Briscoe. If we end up widening the Grand Avenue overpass, does it make sense for us to come in and repair those sidewalks this year when 2 years from now we'll be widening that and taking out all the sidewalks to begin with? So there are some unanswered questions in order to get to the point we want to get to, and that will hopefully ferret itself out later this summer and fall.
Thank you. That's my only question. Thanks.
Are there issues that the city can determine which trees, varieties, and so forth cause the majority of issues, so that we're looking at approval of developments and so forth to try to head off issues with sidewalks in advance of the problems developing?
Certainly, that's actually a significant challenge we're looking at right now. Currently, trees planted within a street tree easement are the responsibility of the city, And as we plant more trees in street tree easements, we accumulate more liability. So how do we manage that? And that's one of the policy issues we'll be addressing as we come forward in the fall. Right now, we still require street trees to be planted as part of developments, but we're looking closely at whose responsibility those trees are.
And then the state stormwater mandates and so forth, do we have just a ballpark estimate of costs to meet those kinds of mandates from the state?
I can quantify it for our department, but it's, again, our strategy is across all many departments, and we have not been currently tracking our time with regard to investment of time in stormwater. We need to do so. I know that we do have a contract that is approximately $15,000 a year for a company to come in and do stormwater or creek water monitoring. So they'll actually sample the water in the creek and then take it to a lab, and then we have to analyze that information. It's part of our effort to, in the future, make improvements to our program. So we have a variety of contracts. I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Barnage.
Just one quick note on the trees. Mm-hmm. The city has an approved street tree list, and so there's no trees that are really on the list. The city arborist has sort of a spreadsheet of how big areas should be where you plant certain trees, and then the ones that potentially could cause problems, they're not on those lists anymore, so developers won't be able to plant the offenders. And then I have one question for Director Rogers. It's a really important question. Are you ready? So you talked about you're working on programming for different classes for the aging population. What about that iPhone class for seniors?
Hey, we're open to what we tell people who call to offer us, you know, teaching of a class is we're open to try anything at least once.
No, so requests for that?
Haven't had any requests for that
My
yet.
My parents haven't called.
We'll look into it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we've gone through community development, we've gone through recreation. Any questions for the fire department?
No.
Okay. And for admin as city manager?
No. Not right now.
Okay. My question on the detailed economic development plan, that's something we've talked about for at least a year now, and do I understand there's a draft available, and can we get a copy of that so that we can look at that during the budget discussions?
Well, it's in draft form, so it's not really ready to be shared, but we can certainly bring forward a draft fairly soon if the council would like to see that. We anticipated that would come out of the council goal setting, that you would ask us to bring forward the economic development plan.
Can you give some examples of the just increased regulatory requirements that we're seeing that we should be aware of going forward?
It's really across the board in all departments that there are increased regulatory requirements from the state and the federal levels of government. So we were talking recently about stormwater regulations. Those are becoming more cumbersome, more burdensome for staff. We heard from Debbie Malicote, our admin services director, about the different GASB reporting requirements that are have come forward and some additional ones that we anticipate. There's all kind. Every department is dealing with increased reporting, so we could come up with a long list for you if you really wanted the detail on that. But certainly, that's a trend that we're seeing.
Right. Okay.
I just asked one. I wonder if we could get sent a copy of the presentations tonight.
I was going to mention that we're going to put the presentation on the website tomorrow morning, so it'll be available for the public.
Can we get a copy of it?
We can also send it to the council.
Sure.
Okay, there being no more questions, I don't think, from the council, citizen input, comments, and suggestions. Would anyone like to address the council on these items?
Good evening. Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I'd like to start by saying thank you for the moment of silence for the tragedy that happened in Florida. One of my first questions would be, I've heard what the goals are for each staff member. When are we going to hear the goals for our from our city manager? What are her goals for our city? I'd be interested in that, and I hope that comes out on the 27th. I'm also curious as to what we're paying a facilitator. I love hearing that we're doing things in-house and that's saving the city money. The facilitators that keep getting hired, that's taking money out that could go to other projects. Something else I'd like to mention. On the overhead projection, we had some of the stuff printed in blue. Very hard for the general public to read that. And sometimes we get pictures that are posted up there, and we can't see that well. So I'd like to say that that's something that might want to be considered is the overhead projection, certainly lacking sometimes. Fire Chief Lieberman, I didn't hear anything about a CERT program. At the Disaster Preparedness Expo, I'd actually spoken to him gentleman by the name of Bob. I have his card at home. He said that he's willing to come into this town and teach the CERT program, so there seems to be a little conflict with whether this is countywide or not. I think it's something that would really benefit our city and the residents a lot. Somebody touched on the trees. I understand the Tree Guild does great things planting the trees, but they don't keep up the tree maintenance afterwards, so that is a concern as we go forward. I know I've had a problem out on Wasna with getting bushes to code. It's been 8 months now, and they're not all the way to code because staff is so impacted. The plan check. And the kiosk thing sounds great. One of the things I have found is Panera, Figaro Mountain, trash cans, the big dumpsters, are always out in the parking lot. You know, it goes against a code. It goes against what we're supposed to have for building plans and stuff. It'd be nice to see that cleaned up so all businesses are treated equally. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to comment?
Colleen Martin, Arroyo Grande. First off, thank you for having this special meeting tonight. I think it's always important to come back and look at what your goals are, and I really appreciated being able to see the accomplishments, the current projects, the trends, the anticipated projects, and the unmet needs. And, of course, there was a plethora of unmet needs as far as staffing and capital outlay, which was to be expected in anything that's publicly funded. In the lobby, there's a copy of the organizational values. However, the mission for our city and the goals are missing, and they're really important. So once that gets developed by you five, I hope that you would create a document that people in the city could see, whether it's here or at City Hall or at the library or at all our facilities. It would be great to be informed what individual council members deem as an important goal for you. We've heard from all the departments, and now we know what their goals are and what their needs are. But you ran for office, and what were you hoping to accomplish when you ran? What were you hoping to walk away with 4, 8, 12, 16 years later? What are those goals? What do you want Rio Grande to be famous for? Do you want us to be a bike city, pedestrian-friendly, senior-friendly? What is it you want us to be, the city to be? It seems to me goals should come first, and then the budget to progress towards those goals is put in place to support the goal. Now, I understand you're in a 2-year budget cycle and you have 1 year left, so you're kind of just finishing up projects that are started, because I'm sure the limited funds can't go start something fabulous, but I wish it could. So I'm going to give you some of the ideas that I have for my goals for the city of Rio Grande. I would hope the city of Rio Grande goals would include, and you don't need to take notes, I just emailed this to you, a grocery store, a parking policy that gets parked vehicles off the streets, an exemplary customer service to residents, no matter what the age or resources. We still have a lot of citizens who aren't internet friendly, who don't have Wi-Fi in their homes, who need a paper copy of things and might need even interpreter services. Beautification efforts at the entrance to the city, like the trafficway off-ramp, the Grand Avenue off-ramp, and the Halcyon off-ramp. Every time I come in there, and I've mentioned a million times how much I would love to see a mural in the Bridget, the Briscoe Road tunnel, something to make us look great. We put a lot of emphasis into the village, and now it's time to spread out. Outreach to our elderly population, and not just for park and recreation needs. It is very gray in Rio Grande, very gray, and they keep living longer, so maybe something to help them. Pride in residents. I'm going to take a few more minutes since there's so few residents here. Pride in residents, an effort to encourage residents to take care of their residences, whether they own or rent, a pride in what our city looks like. Understanding and improving the water conservation process, training for all city council members, commissioners, and committee members on everything, from group work to policy. Citywide outreach for future general plan update. That's going to be a biggie. Obviously, a technology plan for the city and your unfunded technology needs. An articulated plan for spending reserves above the minimum set aside. You've got some reserves. What are you going to do with those? Are they just for rainy day fund, or are they going to be for a pet project? Do we want to be reactive or proactive? So I guess what I'm asking is, part of the goal setting is, what do you want for Rio Grande? I'm excited that you have recruited a facilitator to assist you in the process, and I think that's very wise. I urge you to discuss and make recommendations beyond the one-year budget completion process, to sharing with those of us who live in the city what your vision for Rio Grande is and how we can implement those in future goals. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comment? Okay, seeing none at this time, that concludes the business this evening.
Wait a minute. I was told that we were going to be able to give comments, and so I didn't. You started with questions, and then agenda was comments, and I've been really good about not making comments.
Point taken.
So
would you like to start?
Well, comments? Sure.
Councilmember Brown.
Sure. So I just want to make a few comments. The facilitator mentioned the word focus, and staff went through a lot of needs that are unmet. And we have limited funding. So what I would ask of each department head for the next meeting that we have is your top three priorities from your own point of view. I don't want to be doing this in a vacuum without hearing from you with real focus about what your top three priorities are. Additionally, I think it's a huge mistake to think of this as a one-year process. And the reason I say that is budgets come and go, councils come and go, but we need to have long-term goal setting and goal planning. To do it in a one-year time frame, I think, is short-sighted and really limits what we can do. In order to be imaginative and forward-thinking and not be reactive, we have to think long-term. And as an example, one of the long-term goals we should have is for asset replacement and dealing with repairs that have been put off. We've talked about putting a fund together to deal with those over the coming years. That's not a year-long process. That's a years-long process. So we really need to be focused on not just the next budget year. That's what I call short-term thinking, going from year to year. Again, budgets change, councils change, but the goals in general, when you look over the last 5-10 years, haven't changed tremendously. They generally go in the same direction. And I think we should do that in the upcoming session. I'd like to hear from staff the top three priorities so that we don't work in a vacuum, because you guys deserve to tell us what is important to you, because you're doing the work and we need to hear what that is. I don't want to just impose something on you when you're the ones that are doing the work and have just as much or more passionate about the things that you're doing than I do. But again, I hope that we look at this more than a one-year basis. So those are my only comments for now, and I look forward to having that discussion at our next meeting. Thank you.
Councilmember Gentry.
Well, I will echo the request for some prioritization from staff. There's just a list and list of stuff there, but that, you know, so prioritizations would certainly be helpful. I do think we can look long term and actually set some short term goals here that are part, as mentioned, the maintenance project, which is I'm gonna say relatively new, but with the concept there that just finishing the actual financial plan side of that is a short-term goal that's certainly accomplishable, but certainly indicates the intent of doing something about it in the future. So I think it'll be a combination of those things. I too am looking forward to hearing more from the public as well on these on what the public priorities are, particularly on in the broader sense of what the public sees. Everybody talks about the pothole in front of their house or this specific issue, but really the broader thoughts about what the public thinks going forward, we should prioritize for the city, because we're just not going to be able to do everything. And I think I for one would like to hear from the public on that. Thank you.
Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. I would agree with Councilmember Brown on the year time frame. Before the facilitator mentioned the year, I was sort of thinking maybe 2 or 3 years is what I was taking some notes. I'm happy to sort of pinpoint things that go along with those long-term goals and come up with some year goals, but in government, a year is hardly any time to get anything done. I mean, so... And if you are looking for priorities from the directors, and that's going to happen, and we're going to talk about it at the meeting on the 27th, the homework assignment we have is due on the 20th at noon. So how are we going to sort of, what do we want to do about that?
We can certainly compile the prioritization from the department heads and provide that to the council within the next day or two.
Okay, so that would be good. And then do any other council members have any comments regarding the 1 year, or is that, the thoughts on that?
Well, I've already made my...
Right, I know.
Maybe I can clarify what it is we're looking for. In the presentation tonight, you heard a lot about long-term goals that are kind of embedded in that presentation in terms of long-term financial sustainability, infrastructure replacement, and a number of other things that are clearly not one-year projects. However, starting to plan for those items can be a one-year project or a six-month project. There are also a number of shorter-term projects that were listed and described to you in the presentation. So what we're looking for from the council is to identify what your top goals are, whether they are short-term or long-term. Those are your goals, and if they're long-term, they're not going to happen within the next year, but certainly those will rise to the top, and we'll focus our resources on those goals. So hopefully that will clarify kind of what it is we're looking for. I also wanted to mention that generally goal setting comes in advance of the budget, and our budget is tomorrow night at the council meeting. If there are any changes that come out of, or put it this way, when your council goal setting is complete at the end of this month, if there are any changes needed to the city's budget, we'll just have to address it at that time and come back and make those changes accordingly.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then the form that the facilitator held up, are we going to, will you email it to us, I guess? Okay. Okay, thank you. And then just my comments, I'm looking forward to this. I thought this was a very thorough presentation with a lot of information, and it just goes to show, I think, the public out there, if they're still listening, that how much work is going on behind the scenes by all the departments, because there was a lot of information up there that, and we get updated usually weekly on things, but there was a lot of information that I didn't know that was going on. And it's an incredible amount of work for the small staff that we have, and I just want to commend all of the directors for doing an incredible job with the resources that you guys have available to you. I think it's pretty noteworthy, and I appreciate it.
Mayor Pro Tem?
I don't have any additional comments from my initial comments earlier this evening. Thank you.
I'm appreciative of Mrs. Martin's comment about getting a official mission statement and a vision for the city. We've got issues that, in terms of level of development and what the city looks like going forward, numbers of things enter into that: water, economic development in my mind is key, because our current revenues do not fully support all of the services that the city provides. So there's pretty much two choices. One is to increase the revenues, and the other is to cut back services. So looking at where we're requesting either additional services or more things to be done in terms of public input, how are we going to pay for those going forward as well? That's an important part of the question. We need the revenues to keep up with expenditures. And not have expenditures exceed revenues. That's clearly key. But there's certain key functions that I think we don't want to give up. And there's also a number of projects that are unique to the city, such as the Swinging Bridge Street Bridge, Briscoe, and those kinds of things that need to be brought forward to a successful conclusion. So we'll look at all of that. I want to thank the staff especially for the good work that they put into this. There was, as Councilmember Barnich noted, a plethora of things that are being done by the staff that some of them we get regular updates on and some of them not so much. And it was good to hear of those many accomplishments and remind us of where we've been over the last year. So with that, That does conclude that. Thank you for the intervention there. We will adjourn to the regular council meeting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. We have a special meeting, closed session ahead of that, I believe at 5 p.m. That'll be particularly for the closed session. So with that, we're adjourned.